Give. I've been preaching on give the last few Sundays. This is November. It's this coming week is this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. Coming rather late in the month, if you haven't noticed. Carrie told me the other day that, and you know, Carrie's a pretty smart guy, so I took it for granted that he knew what he was talking about. It's the absolute latest in the year that Thanksgiving can come. So this is a very late Thanksgiving, but we've got plenty of time to prepare to give thanks. Over the last few weeks, I preached, 4 weeks ago on generosity. And generosity, the blessing of giving. The blessing of being generous. Then I preached the second week on investing and how that we invest our time, our talents, our money. And God has given us all these things to invest. And then I preached last week on valuing and valuing all people. And we talked about that a little bit in the One Life group this morning about all people are valuable. I don't care where they come from. It doesn't matter what their skin color is, what their social status is, how much money they got in the bank. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day that's a hospice chaplain, and he was telling, I think it was, that's who it was sharing this thought with me. He said, you know, when it comes down to that time, he said, where there's nothing left but a grave, he said, you know what, everybody leaves this world the same. You know, sometimes we make huge differences if we're not really careful and we don't guard ourselves. But every soul is valuable. And we preached about how valuable those souls were. And are we really going out and latching hold of the value of those souls? Today I want to preach to you about endowing. Endowing. And I preached to you about endowing. I want us to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want to share some scriptures with you from Peter's writing, going down to the eighth verse. And I'm going to preach to you about endowing generosity. You know, there's been commercials through time, and I had Sister Sarah actually Google this for me the other night, because there's a commercial I remember, but I couldn't remember who it was. It said, you know, that this particular gift, whether it was a diamond or whatever it was, it's the gift that keeps on giving. But I want to preach to you about endowing generosity, the gift that keeps giving this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 4, as we go to the scripture, the Word of God says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality one to another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others. I underlined that for a reason. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that all things God may be praised. I underline that for a reason too. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And as Peter began to share this scripture and this is penned out, I want you to know that as Christ followers, we are an endowed generation. Now what does endowment in itself mean? And endowment in itself means it's the act of undeservingly giving something out of someone's substance or receiving something out of someone's substance that is irrevocable and non-refundable. I want you to, let me indulge on that just a little bit more. The act of endowing means that somebody that has something that's of great value has given us something that we don't deserve. Let me tell you, if you don't know any other example of that, I want to give you a fine example. As we're now really winding into this Christmas season, because some 2,030 so or years ago, there was a God in heaven. There is still a God in heaven that looked down upon us, and we were undeserving of His love, and we were undeserving of His kindness. We were were undeserving of His mercy. But He said, I'm going to make a way where right now there is no way. And I'm going to take the most precious thing to me. Remember that value. Remember that investing. And I'm going to take that most precious thing to me. And I'm going to invest it into a people that is very undeserving. And I'm going to make a way where there is no way, that they may be saved, in order that they may worship me of their own free will and bring me glory and honor. We have been endowed with the grace of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may worship Him and bring glory and honor to the Lord. And He said, when I be lifted up, I will draw all men nigh unto me. And when we represent in our worship, in our praise, and that can be in many forms, many fashions, not just the way we worshiped here this morning, we are bringing glory and honor to the Lord God. Jesus Christ, our salvation is freely given. You know, when we read that scripture, the scripture tells us in Paul wrote to the Romans church that God doesn't renege His gift. In fact, he says in Romans 11, 28 and 29, he said, as far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake, but as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarch, for God's gifts and His calls are irrevocable. God is never going to withdraw His plan of salvation from us while the time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the elected time. God, I spoke with this guy I led to the Lord the other night on the telephone, and as I spoke with him, I said, you got to understand, you can't be bad enough to exempt yourself from the love of God. You can't be bad enough to make God remove Himself from you. The only thing that we could possibly happen is there was a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And if that were true, you wouldn't be calling me up tonight and telling me that you know that you need to be saved, because it's the Holy Spirit that is drawing you. Understand, God's love is irrevocable. He's not going to withdraw His love. But the question is, have we received His love? Have we received such a great plan of salvation? But in that salvation that is freely given, we must realize that God's economic plan, God's plan of economics. Because whenever we look at the plan of God, you find that recipients become distributors. Recipients become distributors. For what we've received from God, we're to freely give. Now, can we save anybody? No. No, I can't save anybody. But what we have got from God, we're called to be distributors of. And when we look at Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said this, as you go, proclaim this message. The message is this. The kingdom of heaven has come. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Jesus said this. He said, freely you have received, so freely you give. You see, so whatever we've received from God, whatever God has done in our life, and if you're here this morning and you're a born-again believer, He has saved you. He has done everything for you and for me. So whatever the mercy, the grace, the love of God, whatever He has bestowed upon you, the wealth, the riches, the health, whatever He has given you, we're called to freely distribute it. But what hinders us from doing that? The things that hinder us, number one, is time. Time often hinders us. You see, when we begin to think about time, and I think I said this maybe last weekend or two weekends ago, you know, if the devil can't make us bad, he certainly can make us, sometimes help us to at least become busy. And you can be bad and be far away from God, of course, but you can also be busy and you can be good in a lot of different ways, but you can be so busy that it hinders your time with God, your time, your kingdom time. James spoke to busyness. James said in chapter 4, verse 13 through 14, he said, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow that we will go we will go to this city and we're going to spend a year there. We're going to carry on our business and we're going to make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? He said, you're a mist. The King James Version says there, you're a vapor. He said, you're a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Last week, as I preached about the trichotomy of man, and we're soul, spirit, and then we're body. Understand that, remember that body, these bodies, they're going to pass away. From dust they came from, to dust they're going to return. They're not intended to be permanent. And this life that we, as we know it, is not intended to be permanent. It has an ending point. It has an ending place. All because of sin and sin that came in the world. But here's the thing. We live our life sometimes, even as believers. Non-believers, I can almost understand. I can't excuse it, but I can almost understand. But believers, sometimes, why do we live our life like we're thinking we're going to live forever in this life? Because we do. We do. And the busyness of living life like we think we're going to live forever is why oftentimes we struggle in finding, giving ourselves over to the service of God more than what we do. Because we've got to make more money. We've got to put more in our 401k. We've got to tear down our barns and build greater barns. Amen? And we find ourselves so caught up in those things, and I'm not here to bash other messages and other ministries, but I even hear it in the church of the whole realm of prosperity. And I believe God does want us to prosper, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all of us are going to have big bank rolls, bank accounts, and be owners of major conglomerates and all of this and that and the other. Because listen, if God wants that and blesses me with that, that's all fine and good. But I don't want anything that He's blessing me with to take away my attention from focusing on Him and kingdom purpose. And then, when we read the wisdom of Solomon, listen to what he said. He said, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. If we wait for the right time to serve God, let me tell you something. It's going to be like you used to hear people say, well, when we can afford it, we're going to have kids. You ever heard young couples say that? When we can afford it, we don't start a family. We don't have some children. Let me tell you, if you wait till you can afford it, you're never going to get there. Okay? Just go ahead, you younger ones that are properly married, okay? Let me disclaim. You younger ones that are properly married, go ahead. That's an excellent way to grow your church. Have babies, okay? Go ahead. I mean, I'm looking for Chase and, and Haley. I hope they have about three more. You know, Pam sitting over there, you know. But the truth of the matter is this. If we wait for the right time, if we wait for everything to be perfectly right for me to say I'm going to serve God, when everything gets lined up right, I'm going to serve God. When everything gets lined up exactly right, I'm going to get saved. When everything gets lined up right, I'm going to step out in this call of ministry that God has given me. When everything gets lined up right, when I start making a little bit more money, I'm going to tithe, start my tithing. No, you won't. If you don't tithe now on what you got, you don't tithe more on it later. You listen to me. When everything gets right, then I'm going to start. It will never get right. Solomon was very smart. Whatever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. We have to, in faith, step out, step into what God has called us and given us to do. And if we're not going to step out in faith, we are never going to accomplish what God has given us to do. So if you're waiting on all the stars to come in alignment, it's probably not going to happen. If you don't wait till you got time, the right time, it's probably not going to happen. If you don't wait till you got the right money, it's probably not going to happen. If you're going to wait until you everything else in your life gets right, it's probably not going to happen. And here's the second thing that hinders. I've already touched on this somewhat. Is materialism. Materialism. Now listen, I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to have anything. I thank God. It may be 13 years old, but I think Jesus, He let me and Sarah have a Harley. I rode motorcycles all my life, but until a few years ago, I never had a Harley. And we like it. We love it. We don't worship it. But thank God for that blessing. But I can't let that blessing interfere with my relationship with God. And I don't have time this morning. I'll tell you how that came about. It all came about through ministry. And I've tried to dedicate what we do in that hobby in our life, dedicate it to ministry. But here's what happens. The stuff of our life sometimes are hindrances to us. It's one of the greatest hindrances. Jesus addressed it. He said that Jesus was ministering, and he speaks to one man. These are people, they're wanting to go serve Jesus. They're wanting to be Jesus followers. They're wanting to be servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But this one man says, he said to one guy, he says, follow me. But this guy says, Lord, first let me go home and bury my father. Now that doesn't mean daddy's laying home dead. That daddy wasn't over at the funeral home. It just meant that he was on, I want to go home and I want to stay there until my parents have expired. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. He said, but you go and you proclaim the kingdom of God. You see what happens to us oftentimes here again. We want everything to be right. We want everything to work out good. But this man, why it underlying here, more than likely, this man wanted to protect his inheritance from his earthly father. Wait till my dad dies. And then, you see, and sometimes we get caught up and let me tell you, I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm not saying this whining, sniveling, and crying. My wife told me when I first met her, she told me, she said, I don't like no sniveling men. And I've tried not to be a sniffler since we met. I might have been a little bit of one before. I'm not sniffling this one. But do you realize from a financial standpoint, I would have been much better to spend the last 18 years that I've been vocational ministry. Do you realize that probably not quite 18. I had to sit and count, take my shoes off, count my toes. But the 15 or so years that I have been vocational ministry, do you realize I could have continued working for a company making more money, quite honestly, than I make in ministry. I could have been getting 401k and having it matched at whatever, 3-5%. I could have been drawing even a little bit of interest in midst of difficult economic times, and I could have been working on a retirement and all of this and that and the other. But I remember one day after I went into my own business and one day I was in my shop working, and I can even tell you the car I was working on, it was a 38 Chevrolet, street rod, hot rod, and belonged to a guy in Salem named Jerry, and I was working on Jerry's 38 Chevrolet, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me in a near audible voice, and the Holy Spirit said to me, did I call you to do paint and body, or did I call you to ministry? And the shop went up for sale. And sometimes I miss it. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I miss it because I like doing it, quite honestly. But you know what? I had to say, Lord, if you will help me, I'll do what you've called me to do. Y'all got awful quiet. Lord, if you'll help me, I'll do what you've called me to do. And in your life and my life, sometimes we have to realize we've got to let the dead bury the dead. Still another one said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to all of my family. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying that you throw yourself into poverty. I'm not saying that you neglect your family, because the Scripture teaches us the man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel, which is a non-believer. But what I am saying to this is God is calling us to put our priorities in order. He has endowed us with much. He has given us much. He's given us much grace. He's given us much mercy. He has given us much blessing. But everything He gives us, He gives to us that it may flow out of us. So a certain ruler said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." He said, "You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not get false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All of these I've kept since I was a boy," he said. Then Jesus heard this. He said to him, "But you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, this rich young man got very sad because he was wealthy. Jesus looked at him and he said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" Now let me tell you something. Jesus is not against rich folks. He was not a socialist. He was not a socialist. He was not against people being blessed. He was not against people having nice homes and money in the bank and all that. He didn't want everybody to be poor and naked and barefooted. In fact, that's contrary to what he calls in his word. But what Jesus is calling to here is that this young man that had accumulated much, he wasn't willing to release. I firmly believe, I can't say that I know, but I have this belief, and I always had that young man just at least obeyed the Lord. If he had at least turned around, walked away and said, "I'll be back in a few minutes. Let me go sign everything over." Or if he had actually sold out everything he had, I believe God would bless him more in the latter than he had in the beginning, because that's just the way God works. But he didn't have enough faith to let everything loose that God had blessed him with in order to walk in obedience and trust the Lord to take care of him. You know, and that's what happens to us sometimes. We don't trust our material stuff to be able to say, "Lord, I put it on the back burner for you." And then it's that thing of selfishness. And all of these are intertwined, if you would. And in that third thing that hindered us, the thing of selfishness, here's what happens. Paul wrote to the Roman church. He said, "To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." Then we go to the book of James, the epistle of James, which is one of my favorite epistles. James said this. He said, "But if you harbor bitter, envious, and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and it's demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." You see, what the Scripture teaches us is when we're self-centered and when we're self-motivated and it's me and my three, or you and your four, and it's no more, and it's about us, and this is, you know, bless God, you know, this is, whose name's on this one? Kathy Mathena, Lord have mercy. Bishop, he don't even have to turn the computer on, ain't worried about it. And that's my family's pew, bless God, and nobody else sits on it. And when we get selfish, and you got your own fork over in the fellowship hall, nobody else better use it, and everything that happens should benefit you, and should represent you, and the whole world, listen, everybody thinks that the whole universe revolves around the sun, but that's because they don't know you, because the sun revolves around you. You know, when selfish ambition overtakes us, listen to me, it is displeasing to God. Because it has to be less about us and more about Him. And even when it comes to the kingdom, when it comes to kingdom purpose, it becomes less about us. It's less about me and more about you. It becomes less about us and more about a community out here that is lost and dying and going to hell because they have not, we have not reached them with the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. And we've done a lot of work and to bring it down home. We've, in the last 5 years, we have done tremendous deferred maintenance. We're catching up. We're not quite there yet. There's more occurring all the time, you know, in that sense because as time rolls on. But we spent so much and we've done so much to bring this facility, these facilities up to speed in the last few years. And that's good and it needed to be done. And you've been so faithful to step up and make that possible through your giving and through your hard work. But let me tell you this, if we had spent just as much money as we spend on a building and we spend on air conditioning and we spend on paint and we spend on brick and we spend on mortar, reaching out here to reach lost souls, what could and would we have accomplished? Now everything has its right place, mind you. And it's good to have a synagogue. And I told Sarah this yesterday, we were talking and I shared this in life group, but all of you weren't in there, as we were driving down the road and I said, look at the money that we spend in buildings. And I saw this one really new, nice church and it had service schedule, Sunday morning, 10:30. And nobody said thou shalt have to go to church three times a week. I know the scripture doesn't say that, but look at all the money it's been spent for about an hour and a half a week. Wow. Wow. When we could be investing and we could be changing lives and one of my missions, one of my goals for this year has been, and as we go into 2020, is that we invest in people. We invest in souls that need to be ministered to and we meet needs and we earn their confidence and we touch their lives because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun and we need to reach out and touch the lives of people. And if we're selfish, we're never going to be able to do that. So here's the good part. I'm ending this on a higher note. Because I've been preaching at you and preaching on you a little bit. But now I want to preach to you. The endowing attributes, the things that edify and bless. And I'm winding this down in a hurry. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to read what Paul taught this church at Corinth. This year, have any of y'all noticed how often that I've been taken back to Paul's writings to the Corinthian church? This is what God said. Paul said, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Wow. So if we trust God, God's already decreed that everything, at all times, all that we need, he said, I not have the righteous will never be forsaken, and my seed will never be begging for bread. God has promised to always take care of us. But sometimes we act like we don't trust him to. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Who's he talking to here? Go back to this. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures. If we will begin to scatter seed to the poor is the needy. The poor, anybody that is not saved is needy. If we will begin to pour it out, now he supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Let me tell you something. You can keep the corn in the barn if you want to, but you're not going to grow any new corn next year. You can keep the wheat. You can keep the wheat in the sack and you'll never raise the first field of wheat next year. But when you and I begin to pour out the grain, the supply that has been given us, then we will see God begin to come back and minister to us over and over and over. And let me tell you something, we used to raise a lot of taters. Potatoes, if you're highly educated. We used to raise a lot of taters when I was a boy. My summer job was riding behind one of those monkey ward. That's what I always called it. There used to be, for you younger people, there used to be a store called Montgomery Ward. And my granddaddy always called it Monkey Ward. I used to, every summer it was behind that monkey ward tiller. You know. Yeah, that may be why I don't have any hair now. Shook my hair out. I don't know. I don't know why. But we used to raise potatoes and sell them to restaurants and all kinds of stuff. But you know what? You know what? I can remember that we would take, and when we plant potatoes, we might take maybe 2 or 3 bushel of potatoes or whatever, and we cut them up. You know, Daddy didn't plant whole potatoes. We had to cut the eyes out of them. And that's why you got to be careful when you're in the garden, because the taters have eyes and the corn has ears, okay? Remember that. So be careful what you say. But you'd plant maybe a bushel, 2 or 3 of potatoes. But you know what? In fall of the year, when we begin to plowing those taters up, you know what would happen? We'd sometimes end up 300, 400, 500 bushels of potatoes. Because we were faithful. Daddy was always faithful to hold back 2, 3, 4 bushel, whatever it may have been. He was always faithful. Even if we ran out of taters during the wintertime, you didn't eat your seed taters. Because without your seed taters, you'd never have another crop. And when we withhold our taters, amen? If you're holding back your taters, or if you're eating your taters, consuming them on yourself, or I'm doing the same thing, we will never reap the harvest. But when we sow into fertile ground, and God will prepare the ground, He is the preparer of the soil, we will see the harvest come forth. He said in verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The more you have, the more you can give away. The more you plant, the more bigger crop you get, the more you can give away. John Wesley said this. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times that you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. And what we're talking about here is endowing generosity, if you would, endowing. Listen, enduring generosity, enduring investment, enduring value, enduring endowing. Listen, if we will operate in the blessing of give, if we will do that, if we will be generous, invest, value, and we will endow. You know what? The Bible says this in a summary. All this preaching just to say this. Your needs are going to be supplied. Your righteousness is going to increase. Your generosity will be ever more present. And your praise will increase. When we take on a spirit of give, when we take on an attitude of give, and I'm not talking simply about finances. In fact, I haven't put a tremendous emphasis on finances. But listen, endowing generosity, in other words, giving away the blessing that you didn't deserve, but you were given. When you begin to, and I begin to give away what we didn't deserve, that's endowing our generosity. Then what is going to happen is we're going to experience increase. And sometimes what we call increase is revival. I've had it occur financially. We can always go back to the financial example. I've had it occur financially when I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me to give financially and I didn't feel like I had to give financially. And there's been times that I have been obedient. There's been times that I didn't obey the Holy Spirit. But every time that I've been obedient, I will promise you this, the Lord blessed me. There's been times, you know, for a lot of years, you know, when I started my body shop business, it was supposed to be a side gig, because I had a church that couldn't quite support my household in vocational ministry. So my idea was I'm going to open this shop and I may fix 1 or 2 cars a month. That's about all I'm going to do. Make me, you know, if I can make me, you know, if I can make me $1,000 extra in a month, that's all I really needed to do. And you know what? It grew into a dealer's license. It grew into a salvage rebuilder's license. It grew into two guys working for me. It grew into a rollback truck. It grew into a lift in my, and it just continued to mushroom. And the Holy Spirit had to wake me up, because you know what? I had guys work for me. They got paid a lot of weeks I didn't get paid. And God blessed me in certain respects. I can't say that He didn't bless me, but I wasn't exactly getting rich at the same time. But you know what? When I decided, Lord, I'll do what You've called me to do, and I sold out and I got rid of it all, and I still got my paint guns, by the way. I still do miss a little bit of it here and there, and I miss going to the car sales. I miss some of that stuff. I'm not gonna joke with you and tell you I don't miss it. But let me tell you something. I never missed a beat once I trusted God. I never had a payment go late. I never had a payment go past due. I've never had anything you can look at me and tell I've never went hungry, bless God. I have never missed anything in my life by saying, God, I'll take the plunge and I'll be obedient to You. So when it comes to this month of November, Thanksgiving, remember again, it's generosity, it's investing, it's valuing, and it's endowing everything that God has blessed us with. I didn't include this in my sermon notes, but I love it. Sarah and I, for a number of years, we followed, and he's the late, because he's deceased now, of course, but a guy named Zig Ziglar. And Zig Ziglar he never claimed to be a preacher. He said, I'm not a pastor. He said, thank God I'm not. But Zig Ziglar used to say, and he taught everything in Christian principles. And Zig said that, would say this also often. He said, one sure way to help you get what you want to get is to help others get what they need. To get what you need, help others to get what they need. I'm not talking simply about money here. It comes into equation, of course. I'm just talking about our lives in general. Do you know what the most successful people, regardless of what the Communist News Network would tell you, CNN, regardless of what they will tell you, let me tell you this. Do you realize that wealthy people are some of the most generous people in the world? Now, you listen to other entities, they would have you think not. But most wealthy people, most successful people, as we deem successful, you know, if you will talk to them, you know, they will tell you that generosity is what's helped them get to where they're at. Freely the Lord gave it to us. Everything that we have, our health, our well-being, our finances, the vehicle you drive. Somebody was making fun of my cube the other day. I said, hey, I want to tell you something. That cube could quit on the way home. But if it does, I still have to say thank you, Jesus, because that thing has got 250,000 miles on it. It had been totaled. A Russian Ukrainian did a poor job repairing it, but I bought it cheap just to drive back and forth from my house to Voice of Praise Worship Center. That thing has got all of those miles. I took it to a garage. It did a ratty job changing the oil in it when it had about 120,000 miles, and it ran dry of oil, and the motor was knocking, I had to stop at Family Dollar and buy some of that cheap Family Dollar oil to put in it. I thought it was done for. I thought it was over with. But you know what? God blessed that ugly car, and it ain't pretty to look at, and it's a little stinky inside right now because it ain't been cleaned up too much lately. But let me tell you what. God has blessed me, and I thank Him for that, because He provided a need. And by Him providing a need, it enables me to better serve this community and this church. I got to get off here because I know we got a busy day today. But listen to me. Listen to me. When we decide to give everything that we have to God, He will bless us in ways that are going to be will just totally amaze us. Now, you say, well, what would be amazing if He'd have given you a new red Corvette? That's probably true. That would have been amazing in itself too. But you know what? but it amazes me. He's given me that little ugly car that had been a total loss that was fixed by a jackleg Ukrainian body man that ran drive oil and those transmissions, those, what do you call it? CVT. They're not supposed to last that long, are they? Most of them don't make it to about 110,000 miles. Right? Am I right? Because he's a certified mechanic. He knows that they're not supposed to last that long. Mine's done outlast twice what it's supposed to. You know why? Because it has God's blessing on it. Not because of me, but because I'm giving honor to Him. And when we will honor Him, He will honor us every single time. If you will honor Him, He will honor you and He will bless you. And it may not be a new Corvette. It may be an ugly cube that was totaled and repaired by a jackleg Ukrainian and the garage let it run drive oil because they didn't put the filter on right. But if God blesses it, the Energizer Bunny ain't got nothing on it because it will keep going and going and going. So give. Give everything that you have to God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed right now, I want to ask you a question. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I want to tell you something. You're not giving God everything that you got because you haven't even given Him yourself yet. If you're in this place this morning and you've drifted far, far away from God, you've lost your zeal, you've grown cold and you've grown indifferent. We used to call that backslidden. If you've backslidden on the Lord, then you're no way you're giving Him all that you've got. So first and foremost, I want to speak to you, the unsaved, or maybe the backslidden. If you're here today, in this Thanksgiving season, today's actually the first day of the week. Sunday is always the first day of the week. It's Thanksgiving week. And it's an excellent time for you to give yourself back to God. Or to give yourself to God for the very first time. If you're in this room this morning and you're unsaved, or if you're in a backslidden condition, I want you to raise your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me." I'm not going to embarrass you. Is there one person in this room? Pastor, pray for me. Can I take it by that? Everybody in this room is satisfied with where you're at in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want, with heads continue to be bowed, eyes continue to be closed, I want to ask you this question. Very important question. I wonder if there's anyone in this room that would be willing to let go of pride to be man and woman enough to say, "Pastor, there's a lot of my life that I've never released to God." Now, I'm not speaking necessarily of sinful things. I'm speaking of your time. I'm speaking of your talents. I'm speaking of, it could be your finances. I'm speaking of all the matters of life. There's so much of my life that I've never released to God. I'm guilty. I wanted to go back and bury my dad. I wanted to go back and check on my mother and father, so to speak, like Jesus shared in the scripture with us. If that's you, and there's some things that you just haven't released to God yet, and you can slip up your hand and say, "Pray for me, Pastor." I'm certainly going to do so. Is there anyone in this room that says, "Today I realize there's things in my life that I need to release"? There's things, thank you. Are there others in this room? Thank you. A number of hands have gone up throughout the congregation. Lord, I need to turn loose of some things. I need to trust you. You know, she's going to be here in a couple weeks. Well, Katrina is here this morning. It's good to have her in service. Look, you can look this way at me now. You know, a few years ago, Katrina left her little old town here in West Virginia, left her mama and all of her family, and Katrina went out and in faith, she went out, and I know at one time you were working at McDonald's, right, or something like that, weren't you? Something like that at one time? Oh, a dish, okay. But she let go of everything to go and answer a call of, that she felt was a call of God on her life. And I know God's rewarding her. You know, a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, you know, Whitney, amidst all of the tears and the crying and all of the, in spending time with her and the family, and amidst all of the stress that was involved with it, you know, Whitney made the decision, I gotta do what God's calling me to do, and it meant forsaken all. You know, I look at Greg McClurkin and which probably be with us early in the year, and I look at Greg and I think about all the great work he and all of the missionaries have done, and Rick and Latrissa back here, and people that give up everything to go out and do what God's called them to do. And I begin to look at that and I see that and I admire people that do that. I think it's so wonderful, but I see that their life, there may be a lot of things that seemingly they don't have that other people have, or they, you know, but at the same time, but I see the favor of God that's hovering down over their life. And let me tell you, in consideration to all the other things in the world that I could have or that you could have, there's nothing that we could have to be as great as the favor of God on our lives. And those of you who slipped your hand up, I pray for you. I appreciate your honesty, and I pray for you. You pray for me, because every once in a while there will be something in my life that I'll have to struggle with. I want to hold a grip on it, and I don't want to let it go. But God's calling us to give, release everything to Him. And this is what I want you to do. I know the hour's getting a little bit late, but I want, especially if you raised your hand this morning, I want you to come up, but I want everybody that can and will in this church to come up. And Pam gave the opportunity for testimony this morning. I appreciate those testimonies. I thought that was great. But I want you to come up and join me in prayer. And as we conclude this service, we're going to conclude the service with a prayer, if you would, a prayer of dedication. A prayer of commitment that we're going to, you know, do you know that give myself away? Do you know that, Madison? Not by heart. Trent Corey used to sing it. I don't know who wrote the song, but the song says, I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away. And this morning, that's what I want to ask you to come into agreement, not with just me, because I'm going to be coming into agreement too, but I want us to come in agreement with the Lord that, Lord, this Thanksgiving week, we're going to give ourselves away. We're going to give ourselves away. I have a fella that gave me a pair of chaps. You all know what chaps are, motorcycle pants, you know, leather pants. He gave me a pair of chaps a number of years ago. He came along a few years later and he said, I want my chaps back. I said, I thought you gave them to me. He said, I hardly ever see you wear them, so I want them back. You know what? He didn't give them to me. He let me borrow them. You follow what I'm saying? If I give you something and I come along, you know, I gave a fella a bunch of car parts here about 3-4 years ago. I gave him a bunch of car parts, hot rod parts, because I thought I don't need no hot rod parts. Gave him a brand new set of block hugger headers. All kinds, it wasn't Frankie, I'm just, Frankie knows what I'm talking about. Gave him all kind of car parts. Then I turned around, you know, Sarah and I bought this old hot rod car. And you know what, first thing I need? I need me a set of good block hugger headers. But you know what? I'm not going to go back and ask that guy to give me the headers back because I gave them to him. Follow what I'm saying? And if we give ourselves to the Lord, we can't take back what we, if we truly give it away, we can't go and pull it back. So today, I want you to give yourself away to the Lord. If you raised your hand especially, right now, I just want us to take the time to give everything that we have over to the Lord. Take time to make that commitment. Father, as we come to you in this Thanksgiving season, God, we don't want to hold anything back from you. Lord, I don't want to be guilty of hiding a Babylonian treasure under the rug of my tent. But God, I want to freely give everything to you. Everything that's in my life. Lord, my home, my family, my possessions, my finance, God, my talents. Everything that I have, Lord, I right now I want to give it to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I really have nothing. Everything that I have is actually yours, Lord. Lord, I submit it to you. God, you've only allowed me to borrow it for the season, Lord, of this life. Lord God, but I give back to you what you've let me have. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, God, I hold nothing back. I hold nothing back from you, Lord. Lord, I want you to have it. I want you to have it. I want you to have me, Lord. I want you to use me, Lord God. Lord, I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. My life belongs to you, Lord God. Lord, there is nothing, Lord God, that I have, Lord God, that is not at your disposal. There's nothing that I have that I want to be accessible to you, Lord God. I want you to have it, Lord God. I want you to have it, Lord Jesus. I want you, Lord God, to fulfill your will, Lord. Lord, with everything that I have, Lord God. Not holding anything back, Lord Jesus. I commit myself to you, Lord, right now. This day, Thanksgiving week 2019. Lord, I give you thanks for everything that you've done for me. For everything that you blessed me with. But Lord, I dedicate myself. Lord, I commit myself to Thanksgiving by giving away everything that you bless me. Lord, I yield it to you, Lord God. I yield it to you, Lord God. I yield it to you, Lord God. Use it. Use me. Use what I have. Make full use, Lord, of everything that I consist of, Lord. God, and in doing so, Lord, I make a decision to trust you. I trust you that, Lord, whatever. Lord, if you want the last scoop of meal in my barrel, Lord, it's yours. And, Lord, I'm dependent upon you every time I go back to the barrel that there'll be one more scoop. Lord, if you want the last drop of oil that's in my cruise, God, you can have it. But I'm always faithfully dependent that there will be enough oil to supply my need. God, I give myself to you, Lord. I release everything in my life to you today, Jesus.
I give myself away.
So God, take it, use it, bless it. Lord, all that you've endowed me with, Lord, may I endow it to another. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.